Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cuck My Life podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is where we talk everything cuck, all real stories, real guests, and real cucks. I'm poor little white boy, also known as Poe, and I'm joined by my good friends and fellow cucks, Aussie, Hubs to Hot Wife, and Hopeful. In today's episode, we're talking about rules and boundaries. We're not going to get into the infield fly rule, but we're going to talk about rules and boundaries that you can use, some gifts that you can give you and your partner to make your experience in this lifestyle better. Enjoy listening.
That's got to be fear number one, and it is for me. Fear number two has got to be the fear of losing one.
Okay, so do you want me to like shove this 12-inch giant dildo up your ass?
I think they think that people are going to be too polite to tell them to fuck off.
You might eat a cream pie, and it's amazing.
I got in the truck, and I was driving my ass in her direction, and the only thing I didn't do was I didn't put my 9mm in the truck with me.
Let's go around and ask, start with Aussie, what kind of rules and boundaries do you have in your relationship now?
Thanks, by the way. Yeah, it's good to be here again. So I guess at the moment our rules, like we've been doing this for about 2.5 years or thereabouts, a bit more. And from where we started to where we are now is very different. And I think that's mostly because we set these rules for the purposes of keeping us a little, for lack of a better term, caged, keeping everything in a sort of a boundary so that we feel comfortable in there. And as we go through that, then those rules sort of slip away a bit and we become more comfortable. It's not that we're just giving everything away. It's that things become more comfortable. You realize those rules are unnecessary. So right now, the rules that I set really close is around security, safety. It's my number one concern with her seeing other men is I don't know them. She doesn't know them. She's being intimate and alone with them a lot of the time. So one of the rules that we originally had that we still definitely have is that I am present. Either at the sort of first meeting, at least the first meeting in terms of like coffee or whatever, and then usually for the second meeting, the first intimate meeting as well. So we have that, and the next one is just to do with my kids. We have kids, we have family. I have a hard rule that I don't want any of that lifestyle play to be anywhere near them, not in the same house, not in the same, you know, building or whatever it happens to be. So we don't play at home, and I don't want her boyfriend, because she has a boyfriend, around at our place and them being intimate in any way when our kids could just walk around the corner. So other than that, it's pretty much like, you know, I'd like to know where she is, like irrespective of how many times she's been with a guy. I like to know the hotel. I like to know what's going on, where she is. But part of the allure, part of the angst and that sort of stuff is the not knowing and trying not to like rack your brain going, oh my God, I haven't heard from her in like, it's been at least 3 minutes. So other than that, I don't do that so much anymore, but I used to. But yeah, that's pretty much us. Obviously things like privacy and like not showing pictures of us to other people and that sort of stuff, I guess those are rules, but they sort of go a little bit with that saying, but yeah, I think that pretty much covers it for us.
Hubs, you want to tell us about the rules that you guys have now?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Now, it's way different from when we started out. And of course, we started out swinging. We didn't start out in a cuckolding relationship and navigating rules with multiple people at a time, trying to get a foursome together and figure out what everybody's into and not into. That was always a hassle and something that I didn't care for. But nowadays, Sarah is moving in the direction of being more in control, which I love. She gain some autonomy, gain some confidence. And we've been at this for about 5 years. And of those 5 years, four-ish, we've been in effectively what is a cuckolding relationship. We started out calling it a hot wife relationship. But again, as she has sort of gained in her power and strength and confidence, you know, it's much more a cuckolding relationship, which, again, I love. So the fundamental rule nowadays is it's what she wants when it comes to choosing sexual partners, the when and the where. You know, I don't have anything to do with setting that stuff up, which I once used to. But the other thing is that just as Aussie said, our rules center around safety. What rules we have pretty much center around safety. You know, very similar to you, Aus. You know, I like to know where she is. We actually have her connected with the app, you know, the Find My Friends app on the iPhone. And so I can actually flip it open and pinpoint her location. Of course, that's a little sketchy at times. You know, there are times when the accuracy kind of varies, and I'll see she's in the hotel 1 minute. Oh, she's in the woods. What the fuck? I mean, that's why I have to keep myself from constantly checking it because it goes nuts all the time. But as long as I know she's in the vicinity now, I'm cool. The other thing is, you know, we have, sometimes she'll text me a picture of the two of them, like that as the indication that she's arrived. The other night she had a date with a guy from out of state. He was in town for work and they've been talking for a long time and they had a meet and greet. And she said, you know, it's just going to be a meet and greet. That's all it's going to be. But as I told the guys, in the chat, she left out of the house with her purse, and I noticed that in her purse was a bag that she only carries when she's going to fuck somebody. And so I said, okay, well, we'll just see how that pans out. And sure enough, after a little while, the next text I got was a picture of the phone in his hotel room, which of course has the room number, the name of the hotel, and which I thought was pretty clever. She'd not done that before. So I thought that was pretty clever. So yeah, you know, making sure she's safe. Making sure that the person that she's with is somebody that she's comfortable with. And I trust her instincts. She's got a pretty good bullshit meter. There have been times when she's turned down an offer and come on home and we go on with life. But that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah. Hopeful, what kind of rules do you guys have?
So we had a conversation here not too long ago, the four of us, where I said, we used to have a contract and I felt like I needed a contract to protect my interest because I was the subordinate partner. When we went through our little health crisis, the contract went away. She had always said, if you need a contract, we can have a contract. And I said, oh, I do. I feel like I want one. And she said, I don't feel like we need one. I just feel like we need to keep talking. I was like, I understand that, but I want to just make sure. The last time we talked about this, I told you guys, I no longer feel the need for one. Like I feel comfortable with her making the decisions. And within 24 hours, she sent me a proposal for a contract that she would like to enter into with me. And I was like, well, that's interesting. She hasn't sent me the final draft yet, but I'm waiting on it. My biggest rules around her, just like you guys, it revolves around safety. I want to make sure that she's safe. I want to know who she's with. I want to make sure that I know where she is until she knows somebody well or well enough that she feels like she can trust them. She's a grown-ass woman. She can figure out whether she's comfortable or not. My big request of her has always been two things. Number one, don't take a vacation with anybody else. I don't care if you go on vacation by yourself and meet someone. But don't go on vacation with somebody else. That I think I would have a hard time with that. And the second thing is I've always said to her, I am so excited to do this with you. It's important to me that it's always you and I and they come around and never you and him and I come around. That's how I feel about it. Though if I have those two things, I'm good.
Wow. So.
And I think the vacation thing is malleable. Like the more comfortable you get, the less you worry. She's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I have two thoughts that I want to. I'm going to try to put a pin in one to come back around to, and then this first one I'd like to do a little more discussion on. Now, the first thought is that sort of the balance between women's freedom and ability to kind of make some choices for themselves and sort of take care of themselves versus our concern and our understanding that we have to take care of them. Second one, what I'd like to kind of talk about more is we are people that have done this for a while. When starting out, it's a little bit different. And I think Mistress K sometimes will say she's that headstrong hot wife on the Twitter machine type stuff, but really great,
Brilliant woman.
brilliant woman. And she mentions that, boundaries are gifts to the people that we are sharing our intimacy with. And they sort of give us some roads to go down. And I think that you'll see, and sometimes in the BDSM community, that a lot of the dominants, they say, somebody that comes to me and says they don't have any boundaries or any rules, they're not experienced. The story that I've heard is like, so some sub comes to a dom and says, hey, I've got no boundaries. I just want you to do everything to me. And she's like, okay, so do you want me to like shove this, 12 inch by 10 inch giant dildo up your ass? Is that okay? Can we start that?
How about if she says, I'm in the beheading?
Exactly.
Like, after you're in the guillotine, like, you're all tied up. She's like, you know what I'm into? And you said no boundaries. So,
I got it signed
then we
off.
should all
I
have
got it
some.
signed.
Yeah.
You signed
We
the
should all have
release. It's
some.
fine. I can kill you. Yeah. Everyone
So,
has something.
and that almost leads me into this kind of like the world of the safe word or the out or the, there's going to be situations where there's always some pressure. You meet up with somebody, you're kind of got this expectation. But if one of you doesn't feel comfortable, you need to be able to say in some way, this isn't quite working for me. And I'm a believer, even though we're the cucks, I still want to have that voice. I want to be able to say, you know what? Yeah, this person is just giving me ookie vibes. Hubs, do you have anything similar?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the one thing that has become a little bit different for us is, as Authie was saying earlier, whereas I used to go to the first meet and greet, and we have, I guess we've sort of evolved or devolved, I'm not sure which it is, to where we have both, rules, for lack of a better term, and preferences, and if everything's going exactly as we might prefer, I'd be at the first meet and greet and I'd be at the first date. But as a practical matter, that doesn't happen anymore. And so, we have to rely on one another's sense of,
Self-preservation.
yeah, exactly. Hopefully. And we just have to trust one another. And I mean, that kind of circles back. And I know this probably wasn't where you were going, but that circles back to God, communication. I mean, we've talked about it all the time. It's talked about all the time in any aspect of the lifestyle. Not only how important it is, how valuable it is to the relationship, but yeah, I mean, if anybody has a stink in their nostrils over anyone in that we're thinking about bringing in, red flag, raise your hand. There doesn't have to even be any discussion. There always is, but there doesn't have to be. If one of us is uncomfortable, it's a done deal. We move on.
And I think that's something, basically, we have instincts for a reason, and sometimes I think we retrain ourselves not to listen to them, but
Good
they're there
point.
for a reason.
Beyond safe words, and I think we all have, most of us use red, yellow, green, right? So yellow, I'm nervous, and let's, just back off the
Time out.
intensity. Red means the lights comes on, we go home, everything,
Yeah.
right? Beyond that, I think when you're there with her, you have to be attuned to what she's dealing with, to how she's feeling. We know our wives better than anybody else on the planet. There's no question about it. And I know that. We had an event with a young man, nice young man, but he was having trouble. He was having trouble with his erection. He just couldn't quite get it up, and he kept trying. And he had gone through like five condoms because they kept falling off. And he laid back, and she, You have to read your partner, and you have to realize that in those moments, you're going to be very excited, right? It's a very exciting moment for all of us. If that's who you are, that moment we build for it, we wait for it, we hope for it. You have to look past that and put your wife first. This whole lifestyle is about elevating.
Yeah, and you know when something is a fail. I mean, in that situation, it wasn't going anywhere. You knew it. She knew it.
You're not, if you have the opportunity to fuck my wife, and my wife is spectacular. She is hourglass shaped, big tits, tall, blonde hair, red hair sometimes. Right now it's off brown, but she is fucking stunning. If you can't get it up for an hour, it ain't gonna start happening. I even gave that kid a Viagra before we went over.
We haven't actually had really what I would consider any red light moments, like things where we've just felt the need to actually abort, right, and just like jump off. You know, we've certainly had some, I guess, some, we've had some guys that have been not so great at performing, and they've tried and tried, and then it's just sort of wound up in a kind of a, yeah, that didn't really work, did it? So thanks for coming.
Or not.
Kind of way. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or definitely not. And look, I don't know. Those experiences just sort of are what they are. And I think that's why we've still kept to this. When I say we have, it's a rule. It's been broken before, but we try not to. About us meeting first for a coffee, for a catch up, just to see that you're actually the human that you say that you are. So we met this guy, and he sounded pretty cool. Like, he had these sort of fairly cool sort of surfy photos and that sort of stuff. But in all of them, you sort of couldn't quite see, I don't know, his stature, his body shape, his, like, you know, they were just sort of distant sort of photos. And that sort of already made me go, that's a little bit strange. And when we meet him, I swear to God, he was shorter than Eve and was probably about 15 years older than any of his photos. And
in his defense, everybody looks short to you.
He was shorter than Eve, dude. Like, I mean, she's like a small woman. You know, she doesn't wear big heels or anything like that, just walking down the street. And she was like taller than this guy. I was all like, these are not my children. Okay. This is my wife and this guy. And look, it just didn't make it past that first date. You know, we were just all like, yeah, no, dude. Like, I don't know what you're pulling here, but like, nice to have a drink and all, but get out.
I will never understand those gentlemen. Like, I think they think that people are going to be too polite to tell them to fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the whole point. This is why we have that first meeting. It's like, it's not in a hotel room. Agreed. We're not organizing any of that. We're just going out somewhere for a drink. And if we go out and we have half a drink and leave, it's a good broadcast.
We used to have not a rule, but a practice. When we would go out to meet a guy, we would start the evening out with her sitting next to me. And at some point in the evening, she would excuse herself to go to the powder room. And when she came back, if she came back and sat next to him, it was a go. And if she came back and sat back next to me, it was, okay, we're going home.
That's good. That's a subtle one. I like that one. That's really good. Yeah, normally she'd just sit next to, we'd sit opposite each other, and if he arrived or whatever, she would sit next to him all the time. But I like that. I think that we'll add that to the repertoire.
In our fantasies about the lifestyle and our activities and all that, we're always sure they're all going to go amazing and they work out great. But I think one thing that's important is to sort of have some talks beforehand about, hey, you know, what if this isn't quite, you know, the mind-blowing letters to penthouse experience that we thought we were going to have? Maybe hopeful after the event you were telling us about with the young man with erectile dysfunction. Did you do some kind of post-game, some discussion with Tatiana, and how did that go?
We did. We talked about it, but so the whole thing lasted. I mean, the kid had a semi, tried to get hard. It kept coming in and going out, and she was a trooper. I mean, she was there for a reason, and it turns out going down after we talked, because after I threw the kid out, mm-hmm. I was like, listen, I promise you, we both like you. Like, I think you'll be back. Like, don't worry about it. This is just, it's just not your night. Like, we'll figure it out. And then we sat down and we ordered a pizza. Then we were talking some more, and she said, I was like, I like that kid. Like, are we gonna, I mean, I think if you give him another chance, he'll get better. And she said, no. And I said, okay, well, can you tell me why? She said, because he's shorter than I thought he was, and he's heavier than I thought he was, and his dick ain't that big. And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Not what I ordered. Yes, not ma'am. What I ordered.
And listen, that kid's dick might have been huge. Who knows? It didn't get right up.
What about you, poor boy? What rules did you have, man?
Okay, so early on, we were, and I think that you'll find this with all of us, obviously, we are kind of rules have evolved and changed over time. Generally, and this is a big one too, we probably need to discuss, I think safety things, not only the physical security type stuff, but the world of, are we going to use condoms? Do we want to check for STD tests? That kind of thing is also a very important thing for you to discuss with your partner. I think you'll find young ladies like the one that cuckolds me, and I think if you ask any of us, sex feels better without a condom. However, we also know that that is highly risky behavior, right? And you're kind of playing a little bit of some Russian roulette. It's either with us, it's either exchange recent tests, and usually that's probably going to be after we've been together before, right? First time, let's do it with some barriers. Let's be wise, reduce the risk. And then, you know, if it's worth trying again, let's go get some tests and see, you know, if we can exchange those and everything. But Aussie, what do you guys do as far as the avoiding sexually transmitted infections and so forth?
Yeah. So we always had that rule of condoms. It was just no questions asked. That was a sort of a solid rule up until Eve sort of got her boyfriend. And that's where we gained trust. So we all had a trusting relationship. She got tested and does get tested regularly. He was tested and was tested regularly. And when he said that he wasn't having unprotected sex with anyone else, we believed him because we were in a trusting relationship. But that took a lot of time. But there was also aspects of cream pie and clean up and some of those sorts of things that, in my experience, really elevate the experience beyond about just like the PIV feeling better with or without condoms. It sort of, it adds a whole new dimension and it's amazing. But we can't do that with everyone. And, you know, it's that multiplying effect. You know, if he's having sex with four women and unprotected and Eve's having sex with, you know, three or four guys on protect, like that's, it ends up being hundreds of people of like possible connection of contamination or whatever your exposure is probably the right word. So yeah, it's condoms all the way.
Yeah. We play safe all the time. Mm. The idea is kinky and it's blah, blah, blah. Like I know that, she will let them come on her and then I can clean it up. But not in her. Like that's not happened. So at least not yet. I never say never, right? She finds the right guy. If she finds somebody like Mr. T, Aussie, who knows? But for right now, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good example because I was just what you were saying before, Hopeful, about the holiday thing, right? I was there. I'm like, yeah, you're not going away on holidays together. They went on like a 3-day cruise together, a 3-night cruise together, like, you know, a couple of months ago. And yeah, I mean, that was amazing for them. She had a wonderful time. They had like ludicrous amounts of sex, you know, and she came home like going, oh my God, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I got to get over myself.
we all just, it's not necessarily that these things are rules. There's sometimes just hurdles along the way that we sometimes go, you know what, that one is a little bit high for me to jump over right now. At some point, maybe I'll jump over
it. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's it. Like, and the longer we've been in this, the more I realize that the only way to really do it is to let go and let her. I think, I want to just point this out. I think that if you're in this lifestyle, if you want to do this with your partner, you need to have your own code language beyond just the red, yellow, green. You need to have your code language. Like Hub said, she comes and sits down next to me. We're leaving. She comes back and sits down next to him. We're staying. That is a code that they both understand. And having that ability to talk to your wife, to talk to your partner in a way that doesn't let that doesn't hurt the other person's feelings, but you can get across what you want. I think that it is very important for all couples to have that shorthand, that quick speak.
Yeah, I think there's that. Yes. It's like operational security sort of thing. And I'm sort of a big fan of that kind of thing. It's what happens is, and there's, I don't remember who said it, but, you know, it's about planning for a fight, right? You know, you're planning for a boxing match and all the plans in the world are amazing until you get hit. So there's something about that. And I've felt it a couple of times just through Twitter and also just through some people who I thought were liberal enough to maybe understand maybe what we're doing and the lifestyle and that sort of stuff. And then they would say some shit that would just give me this rush of like, fuck, oh, there's no way I can talk to these people about this sort of thing. They are way hardline on something that this, if they knew about this, there would be like pitchforks and fucking, you know, witch hunts in the street. So, and also just with the people on Twitter, you know, we've had, you have some creeps, some people that, you know, some creeps that want to, you know, come in and they just try and send me, follow you around or send you like horrible messages or say, you know, what about your children? We should take your children away from you or whatever. Sometimes you go, you know what? Probably we need to be careful. Got to be careful.
I love this conversation.
Not everybody is going to dig what you're into, you know? And unfortunately, you can see all of us. We're here. We're talking to you, but we're using some pseudonyms, some noms de guerre, noms de plume, whatever you want to say, noms de cage, if you will. Love it. Because this is not something that I think generally, you know, out in the society in the world, one is it has a lot of negative perceptions. I mean, we all were familiar with the phase of cuck being used as like an insult. It seemed like there was a time frame when that was the worst thing he could be. Yeah.
It's just daily. There seemed to be someone calling someone else a cuck in the media or something like that. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that you get it.
Yeah, no.
But you know what? It's also sometimes fun to play with it. So because we're... Yeah. Really confident with and comfortable with Mr. T now. So we went out to a restaurant. So whenever we're together, they are together and I'm sort of not with her. I am and I aren't, but you know, like that's, it's kind of their time. It's sort of them together. So they hold hands, they walk down the street, they sit together at the restaurant. I sit opposite. It's just kind of the way that things are. I get her the rest of the time, just about. When we're together, all three of us, he gets it. That's cool. I have no issues with that. I do like to sit back or, you know, walk back a little bit and see them together and on look. That's what we do, right? But clearly people in restaurants, especially like wait staff, you know, they've come to the table a couple of times and they're going like, what the fuck is going on with these people? Like she's wearing a wedding ring. He's wearing a wedding ring, but they're sitting together, they're cuddling. And then when the bill comes, him splitting it to who's it's actually it's funny. You see the look on people's faces, right? Oh, you got out of that pretty well, didn't you? And you're like, well, yeah, pretty good actually. This whole thing works pretty well for me. But yeah, I think if people recognize it, which they never really put their finger on what it is, but sometimes they get a sniff of like there's some shit going on. It's hilarious. It's great.
I mean, I share a So, and this is one of those little cuck moments that's not going to make it. This is not a porno. This was just something that young gentleman, we were starting out. This was like our second guy that we met. And he lived not too far from us, and there's this great brunch place nearby. So we decided, let's just meet up, have a brunch, kind of get to know each other. The place was crowded, so we ended up sitting at the bar, the three of us. Obviously, she's in the middle next to him, you know, chatting. We're getting to know each other, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, she just looks at him, and there is this look in her eyes when she's feeling it, and it's just, it melts me. I love it, right? And she looks at him, and she's like, can I kiss you? And so, you know, it's a Sunday morning brunch, and we're sitting at this bar drinking Bloody Marys, and she's snogging with this guy while I'm just kind of sitting there, you know, and I'm just tickled. So, you know, I probably just was like, and I'm sure, yeah, you know, it's fun to kind of play a little bit with some societal expectations and so forth.
It is. It definitely is fun. And look, I have to say though, right, so where we live is not exactly a big city, right? We live about an hour, or, you know, almost 2 hours away from a major city. So we're actually fairly rural, like, you know, in a fairly small town. We don't get a lot of chances. We sort of just have to go out in the town. But, you know, and there's been that many times where, you know, walking down the street, she's holding hands with some other guy. I'm walking behind. I'm like, anyone that we know could just look over and go, hey, there's so-and-so. And what the fuck is going on there? I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. You know, I guess that's probably like a good topic for another conversation, right, is about like being outed and thinking about what happens when that happens and if it happens. It'd be a good one.
That would be a good topic for later on.
We'll try. 100%. I think we should definitely talk about it.
Where you started with this, Poe, really about like where our rules are now, but for a lot of the listeners, it may be like, well, we're starting. What should we... Maybe we could talk about what our rules originally were and why we put those in place.
Yes, that's definitely something I wanted to get back around to. And whatever rules you guys feel comfortable with, one of the things that I think we get afraid to do in the lifestyle is sort of set our stuff where we like it. And, you know, our understanding of things, and sometimes people will kind of bounce into those a little bit, and especially starting out, it's nice to have some just straight up boundaries, you know, some things like we'll meet before we do any activity. That was the guy I was just telling you about at the bar and the brunch, was that our rule at the time was we meet first, we make sure there's something there before we just jump into that, you know, playtime type thing, right? Yeah. We've loosened that a little bit just because we've gotten a better idea of how to kind of judge people, things like that.
We've had the same, right? We've had it that it's swung both ways. We met a guy not that long ago, and he just moved to where we were living, and we just went out for a drink at a cafe. It was like in the middle of the day, and his place was not that far away. But we just met, we were talking, and for whatever reason, she was just like, let's go back to his place. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, the next meeting can be in 15 minutes. You know, it's still first meeting at the cafe, and that was fun. And no, they were talking and touching. And then in 15 minutes' time, we're going to have the second meeting, which is this place.
Yes.
So that can work out. That can work out fun. And look, you know, that's happened a couple of times, right? You know, we were away on holiday. And, you know, we're on a holiday, we're relaxing, we're by a pool. And I'm like, why don't you get on the app, see if there's anyone, like, local that, like, you know, maybe you can, like, hook up with. I took the kids out to a play center for a day sort of thing. And this is a big thing to me. It's like, the reason why I don't want guys at our home is because it's our home. This is where our family photos are. This is where our stuff is. This is all the things that identify us are, right? Hotel rooms, totally different. Like, if we go to a hotel room and we take the family and I take the kids off to a play center for the day, fucking go sick. Rip the bedroom apart. I don't care. It's not my bedroom. So that was a little bit different. And that was great. She had a great time. But mostly, you know, on the flip side, as I was saying, we've met some guys who were cool. Where she liked them. It was nice. But we had no opportunity to do anything on that day. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. We'll meet up some other time. Still haven't met them. It was a year ago or like 3 months ago or 4 months ago or whatever. So, you know, sometimes you just got to take the opportunity, but other times, like, you can't, and it's not worth pushing to try and make something that's not going to be very good if you just push it along and have a patch in the back of the car or something. I suppose you could do that if that's what you're into, but yeah, it kind of can go either way.
At the end of the day, real life is always there. I mean, you know, we may be feeling like when we go out to meet somebody new and whatever our expectations for the evening are, the reality is that real life is there all the time, and you got to trust your instincts. And if you have the kind of relationship that allows you to make decisions in the moment, then that's great. You know, that situation I described earlier with her changing seats according to her preference, that evolved from our basic rules that are stated on the dating profile that say we meet first for drinks. We do not play on the first date, or she doesn't play on the first date. But that rule about, or that practice rather, about her changing seats to indicate her preference, that was once we decided that, hey, if we have the time and we want to get together with this person tonight, then that's the indicator that she's ready to go back to their hotel room with me along. Of course, I would be in attendance at that point. But yeah. You know, I think there's only one thing certain, and that's change. And I mean, yeah, that we certainly have evolved and continue to do so.
Yeah. As we're talking about this, I have a little favorite quote that says, our fears are like dragons guarding our most precious treasures. And basically what that's saying is that sometimes our insecurities, the things that freak us out about this, they're telling us what's important. So if you're sitting down, if you're talking about this with your partner and you're thinking, you know, I want to do this, but I'm concerned about X, Y, Z, put some rules out there about it. You know, talk with your partner about it. Say that, you know, something like why do I want to meet first and do the second meeting is the one where there might be playtime. Why? What's the concern there? You know, there are people that have rules, even like just like no kissing and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to bring up, right? Is that I've heard all sorts of rules about it, right? That you know, you can't kiss, and you know, can't. There's no like hand holding, mm-hmm. or you know, and some people like no oral sex, no, mm-hmm. like I don't know. There's the people have rules, like mm-hmm. you say, and they're trying to protect something, and I think. I would say, I could possibly arguably, but the two greatest fears of mm-hmm. the cuck is clearly number one from my perspective. And I would say any cuck out there, if you really think about it, is safety, mm-hmm. right? We don't want our wives to get hurt. We don't either emotionally, physically. There's some bad motherfuckers out there, right? So, you know, we don't want to get mixed up with something like that when we're trying to have a good time and something terrible happens. That's got to be fear number one, and it is for me. Fear number two has got to be the fear of losing your wife, losing your mm-hmm. relationship, things breaking mm-hmm. down, right? So people are – the rules that you're going to put in place are basically surrounding those two major mm-hmm. factors. Now, I think safety should never go away, and we talked mm-hmm. about that. One thing that we do just as a kind of a tip is phones are a bit, it's not a great method because, you know, women don't carry phones in their pockets. Their phones are in their bag, right? So that can easily be taken mm-hmm. off them, right? My wife has a smartwatch and it's got one of the functions where if you like press the button like six times mm-hmm. or something, it does an emergency thing where it will uh-huh. actually send a message and a location, like a GPS location and that sort of stuff, which is cool. It's gone off a couple of times, like accidentally while she was in physical activity at the time.
Oh God,
but your heart rate is over.
You know, and I'm like kicking in the door like Rambo. No, it's like, you know, I call her and goes, everything okay? She's like, yeah, it's fine. But it's just one of those security things, right? Like if she gets involved with someone who wants to take her somewhere else, or, you know, if they start and they're doing things together, they're by themselves, and then he turns, you know, he gets violent, he gets possessive, he gets whatever, she can, you know, make a signal so that at least I can come, or I can be, you know, of assistance. So that's something we
have. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had an aw shit moment when she's been out with someone where you were truly concerned that something was going down that shouldn't be?
No, I don't. Not really. Like, we're sort of fairly, I suppose, perceptive of like who we're meeting with, who we're talking with. We've certainly had some conversations with some guys that were leading to us meeting, and yes, just some red flags came up, you know, that we just go, you know what, I don't think this guy is actually being genuine. We're just gonna cut this off.
And
there's no point in going further.
And I ask that because we've only had one. We're all pretty rational people. When I say we, I'm talking about us guys. We're pretty rational. We realize, and we're probably mature enough to know that just because she doesn't check in when she said she would exactly at the time, that doesn't mean anything. Just, you know, sit your ass down and be patient and give her a break. She's hopefully having a great time. But there was one occasion with a guy that we had met, and I liked him a lot. She liked him a lot. And they had a date. They were about 30 miles from our home. And the appointed time for check-ins came and went two or three times. I'd heard nothing from her. The location app on the phone couldn't find her, couldn't verify her location. And then finally, in desperation, I bit the bullet and said, I'm going to call. And I called, and it went straight to voicemail. And at that point, I was, oh, shit.
And freaking out.
And guys, it embarrasses me a little bit on the one hand to confess this. But on the other hand, this is my dear one. This is my life. She is my world for decades. We are each other's people. And I got in the truck and I was driving my ass in her direction. And the only thing I didn't do, and it was semi-conscious, was I didn't put my 9mm in the truck with me. Because I had a fleeting thought to do it, and then I told myself, no, it's not that, you don't know that it's that bad, so let's just leave that home. And I'm glad I did. Yeah. Halfway there, she called. And what had happened was, simply, they fell asleep after having sex, and her phone died. She had forgotten her charger, and her phone died. And I mean, but holy shit, I mean, I can't even describe to you what was going on in my head and in my chest.
Yeah, man. Look, I'm telling you, like my hair is like standing up on end on my arm, because, you know, it's this shit, it's this sort of stuff that pretty much it's the flight or fight, you know, response in me goes through the roof with this sort of stuff, because she is so dear to me. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know, just, it's just, it is what this is, you know, we want to go and play, we want to let them have the freedom, we want them to explore, we want them to have everything that this life could possibly offer, right? But at the same time, you feel, if something like that happens, you feel like an absolute idiot. You just go, why would I let this happen? Why would I get into this stupid shit? Why would I do that? But you know what? You've got to do it and trust. And look, you know, for her to have that problem, and I think this is the, for anyone that's listening, this is where it's important, especially if you are not a cuck. If you are the cuckoldress, or if you are thinking about this, you have to think about what we're saying here and realize how much we cherish you and how much we value your safety. So missing check-ins, not taking your phone charger, you know, doing those sorts of things, those are things you really have to do better at, or do, because we'll pack an arsenal and drive our asses over there and just start asking questions and pulling out guns. Like it's, I mean, we won't do that, but that's how we feel, right? When it feels like shit's going down.
And, you guys know sometimes, so Mrs. D will enjoy like solo play. She'll go, you know, if I can't make it, she'll go with somebody somewhere. And, often I'll kind of lean on you guys. I'll be texting you guys and, hey, she's somewhere and I know she's there and I know she's having fun, but just kind of the nerves are jangled a little bit. And I think that's part of the fun of this. This is a skydiving of relationships, you know?
It's a mixed bag, isn't it, brother?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to say, I still do all the time, that that cuck angst, to me, it's like this weird witch's brew of emotions and feelings. And, you know, on the one hand, you know, there's the compersion. I mean, you're so happy that she's, you're hopeful that she's having a good time. And you're glad for that. And at the same time, you're a little bit antsy, you're a little bit worried, concerned for her safety. If it's a situation you're, you know, a little unfamiliar with the person or what have you. But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to me from a psychological perspective, what that does for you, what it does for us as cucks. You know, it is part of it. And that's a difficult thing to explain to people if they've never been there or thought about it that way.
But that roller coaster ride of the sort of like the, you know, the climb up of the angst and the, oh my gosh, and I don't know what's going on. And then, well, sometimes after that, she'll come home and she might or might not have another person's DNA in her.
Right.
and she might seductively tell you about what they did. And you might eat a cream pie. And it's amazing.
It's amazing.
The ride is worth it. The ride is worth it.
There you go.
It is. It is. But I think there's a bit of a misconception, right, about what cuck angst is.
Sure.
And I think people seem to think that all it is about is just that you're racking your mind with jealousy and that your wife is with this other man and that, you know, she's having a good time and, you know, you've got a tiny penis or whatever. It's not. There's elements, but there is also the safety elements as well, right? Like, this is the mother of my children. This is, you know, she's seeing some stranger and getting naked with him in a hotel room alone, right? Like, you've got to understand that, like, you know, like I've said, there is this raft of emotions that are all being chucked into the pot and stirred up, and different ones float to the surface at different times. And you know, sometimes you're sitting there and you're going, oh, I've got to get over there. Or, you know, like, I've got to call her. I haven't had a message. She hasn't sent me anything. Or, you know, she's, what time is she meant to be coming home? You know, at the start, we had a rule, which was that there was no sleeping over, right? And I think a lot of our original rules were really around trying to avoid attachment or significant attachment because her relationship style is attachment. And, you know, some of the rules were like, well, we don't really want to have that happen. We don't really want to have attachment happen. It happened. So she has a boyfriend. Whoops. But not like we didn't see it coming. But the, you know, not staying out past 2 a.m. thing was just that there was, she would always be on the way home. So there was no, you know, that they would go to bed and I would stay up and then I didn't even know that they'd gone to bed and maybe they were still playing or maybe that stuff would just, you know, just tear me up. But knowing that she would be finishing up and she's in the car, she'd message me when she's in the car or call me and then she would be on the way home and I'm like, okay. Now I can just think about all of the sex things and all of look at the pictures, all the 5,000th time that night.
Man, we've had a lot of great conversations about this, and we would love to hear from anybody that's out there listening. If anybody is listening, if you have some thoughts on boundaries, if you have some things you'd want to share about the rules, cuck angst, any of that, we'd love to kind of get some conversations going here. episode, please reach out to us on Twitter or via email. Details are in the show notes. From the whole panel here at Cut My Life, take care and see you next time.